Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Good afternoon and welcome to Homeschool Roundtable on Family Life. I'm your host, news anchor Sarah Harnish. Millions of Americans are finding themselves inadvertent homeschoolers this year, with some schools going fully virtual, some requiring masks and social distancing rules that parents don't align with. With me is Danielle Peters today, mom to five homeschool sons who lives in Corning, New York. She is an author, she is a speaker, she is a mentor, and she is a very gifted homeschooler with a seasoned record of dealing with five boys every single day. So, Danielle, can you debunk a common question that is asked of most homeschoolers? Matter of fact, I would even say this is the first question that most homeschoolers ask. What about socialization? You're home all the time. You just had a run-in with this with a brand new homeschooler this week. There are people that have their kids virtual schooling right now and are thinking, you know, this really isn't working for us. Tell me about a run-in with a woman that you had this week and your dialogue on socialization.
She's thinking about homeschooling. Things aren't really going the way she thought this fall. And her first concern is socializing her kids. And really, my first thought on that is we have to kind of identify what socialization means. What is this big word and what is this concept? It's really this idea that you have to allow somebody to learn values, language, culture, behavior, the social skills that allow them to function in a normal community. And when you think about that definition, so much of that is actually already taught in the home. Your student is only as weird as you are. The culture of your family is what creates your kids. So if you're a social family like we are, then you'll naturally develop social kids. If you're a more quiet family, maybe a little more introverted as a parent, well, that's probably going to come through in your homeschooling as well.
You've got some strategic points that kind of debunk some of the socialization fears, and they all start with the letter I. Can you run through those with me?
Well, that would be the first one, is to really identify for yourself what you're defining as socialization. If it's fitting into the norms of the kids in your community and around you, I don't know that that's the socialization I'm actually aiming for my kids. I don't need them to fit into the norms of all of their peers. In fact, I always think of the verse John 15:19 that really says that we're of the world would love its own. Being a Christian, I want my kids to be okay being a little outside the norm. It's okay to be a little weird and different because that's how God made us. It's actually uniqueness, and it's actually being willing to be set apart and stand apart from what might be other peers. So I don't mind thinking of socialization in my world a little bit different. The second one is to investigate opportunities within your community for your students. Truthfully, there's so much out there that is available to homeschoolers that we always joke that the hardest part is sometimes to tailor your schedule back. We could be out socializing every day of the week and get no actual academics done. There's that many opportunities that exist. So really be looking in your community for homeschool groups, for sport leagues, for interest-based clubs, events at your church, serving in your community. And let me just say right here, this is an odd season, right? COVID has made it odd for all of us, even us veteran homeschoolers. Some of these things that have existed in the community before are now being postponed or shut down temporarily. So that kind of brings me to my next point, which is to initiate, to create what doesn't exist. That's been a huge part of our homeschooling journey. When I couldn't find a homeschool group that was close enough to my home, I had young babies at the time. I didn't want to be traveling 20, 30 miles out for a group. I didn't want to be teaching like a co-op would have. And so I started an enrichment group with a couple other homeschool moms, and we hired instructors and we found a location and we took the initiative ourselves to create what didn't exist. And that's a great thing to do at this period of time. And this could be as simple as inviting other homeschool families on a field trip or a hike or to the park, or for instance, our family is preparing for an outdoor movie night this Friday to allow some of our kids to have their friends over. These become family events because we invite the entire families to come. And I think this is a good way, again, to create that culture that's learned at home, which is Paul's command to practice hospitality. So initiate. And the fourth one I want to say is being intentional. Like I said, there's almost so much out there that you could get overwhelmed and you think you've got to put your homeschool student in every single group or sport or homeschool group you see because they all sound so interesting. But the truth is you got to be intentional or you just run yourself ragged. So you got to know your family. You got to know your student. You got to know yourself. What works with their interests and what works with your family schedule or your budget? So the three things I was thinking about when it comes to being intentional with what opportunities you get involved in to help your child socialize and get into the community is to really look for things that build into their God-given gifts and passions and something that provides opportunities for solid friendship. and also that works within your family parameters. Yes, yes, and yes. This is something that is worth us putting our time, our money, our effort in. That's how you make an intentional decision to get your students involved. With five boys, I can't be involved in it all. So I really have to be thinking about, does this build into their God-given abilities? Does it work in our family parameters? And it does it create an opportunity for them to create the kind of friendships that I'd like to see in their life?
One last element of socialization that I want to bring up that we never talk about is the impact of siblings on each other. Can you speak to that?
Having five boys, and you have a big family too, what you actually recognize, sometimes their best friendships become their brothers. My boys all have other friends, but I love that their best relationships, the ones that they have the most time with, that they're really building, it's all happening right here on any given day.
And their brothers are a little older or a little younger, so they're getting wisdom from their older brothers, like Isaiah sitting down teaching Noah how to do his knots for scouting because he already went through it. He already knows it. Or them mentoring each other in math or reading, you know, when different sons have different strengths.
I just don't think my boys would be as close as they are if they were all off at school in different classrooms and different school buildings all day. I don't think they'd have the same kind of bonds that they do.